I think, brief by the portfolio or the portfolio. So we had to squeeze you for today because there will be no other day. And by next this Friday, I think we'll be facing the bill of health.
This Friday?
Is it this Friday? Mm-hmm. So we didn't have an alternative to squeeze you with the other meeting which was scheduled before you. I hope you don't mind to do that. And I'll give you the opportunity, give us some apologies because we're expecting the DG to do the one in Brisbane and other members. You are welcome, Dr. Chile and Mr. Mela, the CFO. Over to you, Dr. Chile.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you very much. Firstly, we'd like to apologize on behalf of the Director General. Unfortunately, the Portfolio Committee of Health is also holding hearings on the tobacco amendments. Mm. So, because there were some challenges with that bill, the court needed to be there. So, he's asked us to convey our apologies to the chair and members of the committee. We are ready to present on the respect of human. I'll present on the strategic plan, both on what we've achieved in 2007 and 2008, and what we're hoping to achieve in 2009, and Mr. Miller, the CFO, will then present on the budget. I understand that the committee members have copies of the presentation, so I'll just go through it with your permission. The first page, the second slide, basically talks to the structure of the presentation.
Let's check. Where are the members? No one gave an apology that... Who? I need guidance, members. What do you do? May they proceed with us or we wait for members?
No, please have just one of these trustees candidates.
Who?
Say, please have just one of these
candidates. I don't know how to do. Why do you continue? Because no one gave us an apology. Dr. Quinn, you may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The slide really talks about the structure of the presentation. In terms of the vision and mission, that remains the same. Honorable members will recall that this was set in 2004. When the minister and the MECs were appointed. The vision is an accessible, caring, and high-quality health system, and the mission is to improve the health status through prevention of illness, promotion of healthy lifestyles, and to consistently improve the healthcare delivery system by focusing on access, equity, efficiency, quality, and sustainability. There are a number of pieces of legislation that provide a legislative mandate for the Department of Health. There are almost 50 pieces of legislation which we reflect our strategic plan, and we've highlighted just a few in this presentation. One is the Constitution of the Republic, the second is the National Health Act of 2003, the third is Public Finance Management Act of 1999, the Nursing Act of 2005, the Medical Teams Act of 1998, and the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Act. And members will also recall that in 2004, we set a set of 10 priority areas that should span the period 2004 to 2009, and those are reflected on slide 5. Just for continuity, I'll speak to that very briefly. First is improve governance and management of the national health system. Next is promote healthy lifestyles. The third is to contribute towards human dignity by improving quality of care. The next is to improve the management of communicable and non-communicable diseases. The next is to strengthen primary health care, emergency medical services, and the hospital delivery system. The next is to support, strengthen support services. And I think as members know very well, human resources are critical to the delivery of health services, so we prioritize human resource planning and development and management. And budgeting, planning, monitoring and evaluation, the preparation and implementation of legislation, and finally, strengthening international information. In terms of priorities for the last financial year, 2007-2008, the following five were adopted by the Minister and MEC. development of provincial service conservation plans, strengthening human resources, improving quality of care, strengthening the provision of infrastructure, and strengthening priority health programs. Okay, the next couple of slides summarizes, very highly summarizes, some of the achievements in the 2007-2008 financial year. And it's done by budget program through a link to the budget. In terms of program one, which is administration, 6 pieces of legislation signed into law by the President in 2007-2008, but it went via to both houses of Parliament before it went to the President for debate and approval. We also reviewed progress that we are making as a country towards achieving the health-related Millennium Development Goals. Members will recall that the Millennium Development Goals were developed and adopted by the United Nations in 2000, and the President signed the declaration on our behalf. And we need to achieve those targets and goals by 2016. So we are in the midpoint of that period. So we did a midpoint review to see how far we've progressed and what the main challenges are we address. All provinces developed service transformation plans, and they are in various stages of consultation. We've developed, in terms of the National Health Act, an annual National Health Plan, printed and disseminated. There have been a number of communication messages sent out to various media, and health awareness articles were also published in professional and stakeholder publications. And I think, as is fairly widely publicized, the Minister held a number of these MDs across the country, almost on a monthly basis. With respect to Program 2, which is the strategic health program, we wish to record the following achievements: that the majority of our health facilities at which deliver health services, but specifically maternal care, have implemented the 10 recommendations of the Confidential Inquiries into Maternal Care. Members will recall that 10 years ago, the Minister appointed a committee called the Committee on Confidential Inquiries into Maternal Care to report and make recommendations on how we could avoid additional maternal deaths, those that are avoided on maternal deaths. So that committee now has been in existence for the last 10 years. In the third report, which was released towards the beginning of last year, they made 10 recommendations on how the country could decrease the number of avoidable maternal deaths. And we've asked every health facility with maternity beds in them to start implementing those recommendations. With respect to routine immunization coverage, that is fully immunized children up to 1 year of age, we are currently at 84% immunization coverage, up from 78% in 2002. The target we've set ourselves on the chair is 90%, so we're not quite at 90% yet, but we are making progress towards 90%. There are a number of provinces. My recollection is that there are at least five of the nine provinces that are already at 90% immunization coverage, but not all on the national level. In terms of the midterm review that we did in June last year, we found that the number of severe malnourished, the percentage of children that are severely malnourished under five, decreased between 2001 and 2005. So clearly we're making some inroads into malnutrition in the country, but there's still, as of 2005, more than 30,000 children that were found to be malnourished. One of the ways of addressing nutrition is to provide vitamin A, and we've done quite well with providing vitamin A to children between 6 and 11 months and postpartum mothers. We've done less well with providing vitamin A to children aged between 12 months and 59 months, that is, 1 year to 5 years. We are still polio-free, so that we think is an achievement. We don't have any cases of polio, and we are looking for polio cases as is required by the World Health Organization. In terms of healthy lifestyle, a number of food gardens have been established, facilitated by really the national department. We have nationally 50 15 food garden projects facilitated by the National Department and 20 physical activity projects. And these have been established largely in Eastern Cape, Kurim, and Southern Western Cape. Plus provinces have developed a number of them on their own. For example, KwaZulu-Natal has more than 370 food garden projects that they've developed over time. So these, the numbers of affected here are those specifically facilitated by the National Department and do not include those that have been established by the provincial departments. 1,800 schools have been identified as health promoting schools, and are in the process of implementing a range of activities on around health promoting schools. So these will contain issues around lifestyle, life skills, elimination of tobacco use in schools. That those kind of programs are part of the health promoting schools initiative. The news on HIV in terms of its prevalence is beginning to look positive for the first time. In 2006, the prevalence rate went down from 30.2% that was found in 2005 to 29.1% in 2007. Now, I can inform the honorable members that the 2007 antenatal survey has just been completed, and the preliminary figures suggest that there's another 1% reduction in the prevalence of HIV. Now, the minister will be making a statement on this in her in a speech both to the House, to the Assembly, and to the MPs, in terms of what our latest figures are on the HIV prevalence. But I can tell members that there's a further 1% reduction between 2006 and 2007. So for two consecutive years, we've had a 1% reduction in the prevalence of HIV and antenatal, people present antenatal services. With voluntary counseling and testing and prevention of mother-to-child transmission, more than 90% of our public health facilities provide the service. Of course, the concern continues to be the uptake, especially of voluntary counseling and testing, because it's voluntary. The strategic plan for HIV and AIDS is being implemented, as I think honorable members know, countrywide, and we have certainly the health sector service points for antiretrovirals in every one of the local municipalities. So 284 local municipalities in the country have at least one service point providing antiretrovirals. And our latest figures show that we have more than 437,000 patients who have been initiated on antiretroviral treatment as of January this year. And we are providing nutritional supplements to just over 480,000 eligible patients. I might add that these are not only patients with HIV and AIDS, they'll be patients with chronic diseases and also children who are getting nutritional supplements. It's not just for HIV patients. The other new thing, I think everybody knows that there's a national strategic plan for HIV and AIDS. I think what may be less well known is that in November last year, the minister launched a national strategic plan for civic health, which also deals with multiple and extensively drug-resistant TB. Moving on to Program 3, health service delivery. Access to primary health care as measured by primary health care headcount continued to increase. We have had in the first three quarters of last year more than 72 million visits, and we are quite sure if we had the last quarter figures for the last financial year, we would have topped 100 million. So what's clear is that primary healthcare services are being accessed by the majority of the population. If you look at the per capita utilization, it probably is around 2.5, which means that all patients, all people who don't have medical aid, on average, visit the clinic about 2.5 times a year. That's the basic level. And that's what's reflected in the next year. And that's up from 2.1 visits in 2006-2007. We still have some variation. Eastern Cape about 2 visits per year, and the Western Cape about 3 visits per person. In terms of supervision, this has been one of the challenges in the past years, in terms of the number of supervisory visits made by supervisors to primary healthcare facilities. But we see that the supervision rate is going up from 48% in 2006 and 2007 to 68% in the last financial year. We've still the first and not happy with the law. A national conference celebrates the 30th anniversary of the signing of the Alma Ata Declaration was hosted in April this year, and it really included all stakeholders reviewing the primary healthcare system of the country and to look at how we can strengthen primary healthcare delivery going forward. With respect to medicine price increases, the interventions that have been put into place over time have resulted in, on average, a 20% reduction in the cost of medicine in the country. This despite the legal challenges, and the legal challenge currently still is the dispensing fee for pharmacists. With respect to hospital revitalization, 33 hospitals are currently under construction, and 11 are in the planning phase. We have a list of hospitals by province, honorable members, that we could share with them should they request specific information on, you know, whether Uppington is up and ready. And so we've got that. We will give it to the secretary. And we've been rather concerned about infection control. And this is a global concern as well with respect to infection control. And we've developed as the National Department of Policy Guidance on infection control. In terms of human resources, I think it's now well known that the Department of Health led all other departments in developing and implementing the occupation-specific dispensation, beginning with all categories of nurses last year. And this was done in collaboration with the Department of Public Service and Administration and the National Treasury, and the collective agreement that was signed by all unions during last year. Over 100,000 nurses benefited by the OSP. In addition, community service for nurses started in January this year, so they are the last category to start, so all categories of health professionals now provide community service. With respect to improving the number of doctors that work in the public sector, we have country-to-country agreements with a number of countries. We've extended the permits of 115 Cuban doctors and 32 Iranian doctors. And initially, 22 Tunisian doctors started working in our hospital. There will be another 260-odd that will be starting soon as well from Tunisia. And that's the next bullet, the 258 that have been selected after 312 were assessed by the Health Professions Council of South Africa. And notwithstanding the number of successes we've achieved on the number of challenges that the public health sector in particular, and health sector in general, continues to experience, and the next slide highlights some of these. Clearly, the public sector strike in the first quarter of 2007 and 2008 had an impact. It had an impact on patients and that services were not provided fully. It also had an impact on the budgets of provinces because many provinces had to pay the private sector to provide care, especially emergency care. While progress towards the MDGs has been made, we would like to see accelerated progress, especially with respect to maternal and infant mortality rates. They're still higher than we would like. There is a growing challenge, and that is the increased contribution of non-communicable diseases, as well as violence and trauma, to the country's burden of disease. We know that the health sector contributes only partially to our health status, and that the social determinants of health, water, sanitation, access to employment, good housing, etc., makes a big contribution to health status. And we think that we need to, at all levels of the system, improve intersectoral collaboration. The human resource challenges, like that everywhere in the world, really, continue to be a major constraint in our ability to extend services and to improve the quality of care we provide, and that remains an ongoing challenge. The honorable members will recall that this year was the first year that the medical students have to do a two-year internship, move from a one-year internship to a two-year internship. Which means that we had a gap in the number of new doctors starting community services, where they would have been second-year interns. And this, of course, increased the burden on the doctors and especially the hospitals. What we did to try and to get around this particular challenge was to try and convince many of last year's community service doctors to remain, to extend their employment contract in the Department of Health. And with some exceptions, I think that was fairly successful. hospitals continues to be a challenge. These are public institutions, so access to them is fairly open. And without putting metal detectors at every point of entry to hospitals, it's been a challenge to ensure safety of the public, but especially safety of the patients and health workers in our hospitals. But we've done a number of things to try and increase the level of safety. Honourable Chairperson, going forward from this financial year, to strengthen the capacity of the National Department, we have increased the number of budget programs from 4 to 6. So we've added a few budget programs and therefore branches in the department. Administration, which includes corporate services, continues. We will also have continuing strategic health programs and health planning and monitoring, together with human resources development and management. The two new branches are special programs and health entities management and international relations, health trade and health product regulations. And we can talk a bit more about what this means in concrete terms should members request more information. The priorities that the National Health Council has selected for this financial year, Honourable Chairperson and members, are on slide 14, and they are the following 8. The need to continue strengthening management and communication, to strengthen the implementation of programs to combat both communicable and non-communicable diseases, to strengthen the quality of care at our public health facilities through the development and implementation of the Health Facilities Improvement Plan, the implementation of an integrated national health information system, and this will be led by the patient electronic patient record, to try and stabilize and further increase financing for the health system, including the private sector. And one of the key interventions there is to design the national health insurance system. And number 6 is further reductions in the prices of pharmaceutical products, hopefully through the implementation of the benchmarking exercise that we've been doing. And number 7 is to strengthen the provision of human resources for health, and finally to strengthen international health relations. The key interventions in terms of each of these program areas, starting with program area 1, the administration, is to strengthen planning within the national health system at all levels, and key, Honourable Chairperson, is to improve monitoring and reporting. Second is to implement all of the recommendations of the audit outcomes as supported by the Auditor General to ensure that we don't really, going forward, have any unqualified audit opinions. One of the things that we plan to do is to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the procurement of goods and services on the national front. We need also, as part of our human resource management, to strengthen the implementation of our performance management and development. And finally, to develop and implement the policy to fast track the filling of vacant posts in the national front, which I'm sure that the CFO has a figure, that the number of vacant posts has increased. In terms of program 2, the strategic health program, we want to ensure that not less than 40 of our 52 districts, that 77% of our districts, have an immunization coverage of more than 80% for children under age. That will then hopefully increase our national average to beyond 84% of the current extent. We need to continue to be prepared to find and deal with cases of polio, should they exist. So this is really around surveillance for polio. We don't anticipate finding cases, but we must continue to strengthen our surveillance around polio. As reflected in the President's State of the Nation address, we will train at least 3,600 health professionals in the management and control of TB. And we hope to reduce, and I'm sure we will achieve this target, reduce the TB deposit rate from 10% to 7%. I might add our latest figures show that it's around 8.9% currently. It's stuck at 10% for the last 2 or 3 financial years. And we want to achieve a 10% reduction in malaria deaths annually during this annual cycle. The cases of malaria have reduced fairly dramatically, but the fatality rate is fairly stubborn at about 0.8% currently, and we want to reduce it to 0.5% of all cases. We certainly want to achieve the target set in the National Strategic Plan for HIV and AIDS, the plan that spans 07 and 08 and 20 years. And we will be implementing the TB Strategic Plan for the over the same period. With respect to vitamin A, we would like to meet the targets that you set and improve from the 2007-2008 baseline, especially in terms of the children who are between 1 and 5 years of age. So we're doing quite well, 6 months to 1 year. We want to increase the number of eligible people who receive nutritional supplements. Members will recall that it currently stands at about 480,000 that are receiving it. So we hope that we will just be able to increase it by another 50,000. We are in the process of finalizing a policy on African traditional medicine. The committee has been working quite hard at finalizing it, and I think there's now consensus that the policy is ready for public distribution. And with respect to cataract surgeries, we would like to increase the rate of cataract surgeries to 1,600 per million population in the province. Central Program 3, we wish to achieve the following: to implement the health facilities improvement plan in at least 32 health facilities, 28 of which are hospitals and 4 are community health centers. With respect to that, Honorable Chairperson, we are hoping that the first report benchmarking where these 32 facilities are currently will be available at the end of June. We will appoint and train 1,110 data capturers to improve the quality of health information in the public sector. And members will recall that the last South African Demographic and Health Survey was done in 2003. The one before that was done in 1998. So these are done every 5 years, and this is an international best practice. So we hope then that they will be in the field in October this year to give us the first preliminary results in about March next year. So our latest infant mortality and maternal mortality figures we will know by about March this year. And we will conduct then the annual antenatal HIV and syphilis survey. This is an annual. We hope also to finalize proposals on the National Health Insurance System and provide some draft legislation during this financial year, but it clearly won't reach this cycle of COVID. We hope to finalize the burden of disease study, which is a national burden of disease study, to get a better sense of what the disease pattern in South Africa is currently. We're hoping, as I said previously, that we will finalize the benchmarking exercise with the other 4 countries that we've chosen and further reduce the prices of medicine to both the public and the private sector. And the final bullet, which I'm not sure is very clear in copies that the honorable members have, basically talks about accelerating the process of restructuring the Medicine Control Council. And the legislation has been approved to be sent to Parliament by Cabinet on the restructuring of the industry. With respect to human resources, the occupation-specific dispensation will be expanded to cover medical doctors, dentists, emergency medical services personnel, and pharmacists in this year. And in the outer year, that is 09 or 10, will cover the rest of the health providers in the health sector. We will implement a human resource information system during this year. And I'm happy to inform the members, and the minister will say a bit more about this in our budget speech, that the clinical associate program, the 3-year degree program for people who will be between nurses and doctors, has started with a number, I think 23 students enrolled at the Walter Sisulu University. And 2 other universities, Pretoria and Witwatersrand, will enroll students, Pretoria this year and Pretoria this week. And human resource plans of all 9 provinces will be strengthened. A number of councils need to be reappointed in terms of our professional bodies, and they include the Health Professions Council, the Nursing Council, and the South African Dental Technician Council. So all of them, their terms have expired, and new councils will be appointed through the usual process during this financial year. The two new programs are programs 5 and 6. In terms of program 5, the special programs of health entities, 3 new hospitals will be completed in this financial year. there are two hospitals in Limpopo and one in the Northern Cape. An additional 9 hospitals will be accepted into the hospital revitalization program. The key, honorable members, to enrolling more hospitals from completing the revitalization system is funding. And that's really the big challenge that we're experiencing. I'm sure the CFO will speak to that in his experience about this. And we will start to strengthen the health information system in hospitals by appointing 286 health information officers in the hospital. We will complete an audit of primary health care services and infrastructure, and also strengthen the supervision of primary health care. And then the program 6, international relations, health trade and health product regulation. We will host a number of multilateral activities in the country this year. CODEX is the food safety, International Food Safety Committee. They will be having their meeting in South Africa this year. The International Red Cross will be hosting an international meeting of Red Cross associations in South Africa this year. And this is the COPTM, apologies for the abbreviation. It's the Conference of the Parties on Tobacco Control. They will be having their meeting in November in Durban. The department will continue to provide support for post-conflict reconstruction in a number of countries, including the DRC, Burundi, and Sudan. And the minister is currently the chair of the African Bureau of Ministers of the African Union. And at their last meeting in Geneva in May, they've approved the implementation plan for the Africa Health Strategy. And South Africa will contribute in these three areas in supporting the implementation of that plan. That's malaria elimination in Africa, combating childhood illnesses, and promoting safe motherhood. And we will complete the guidelines and systems for the registration of traditional medicines. And we will develop and implement an electronic system for the registration of clinical trials. So, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, those are the key activities we are hoping to achieve this year. And with your permission, I'll hand over to the CFO to tell us whether we've got the money to do all this and how the budget is. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much,
Mr. President. Honorable Members, we want to engage the presentation of can we go through the budget first? Thank you. Honorable Mazibuko, may you take over the chair for now?
My members are not carrying this power. What do you say?
Honorable chair, which one ever it is. And honorable, good morning. Yes, I've been listening to my colleague explaining what we're going to do, and it sort of brings you back to think a little bit about, you know, the money side of this exercise. So if I can take you to slide number 23. The National Department of Health received special additional allocations for the following. The first one was the Hospital Revitalization Grant. And I think this is one of the grants that's very dear to or close to the hearts of all the members in this committee, because it touches each of you and each of your provinces and most of all each of your constituencies. The hospital revitalization funding was increased by 600 million in this financial year, 500 in the next, and then 900 in the after year. Membership, remember, this is accumulable. So this grant is growing quite phenomenally, and I'll indicate to you work later on. The second one is the HIV and AIDS grant, and this grows by 350 million, 600, and 1.2 billion. Honorable members can see that this jump in the outer year, in the case of hospital revitalization, from 500 to 900, and in the case of HIV, from 600 to 1.2 billion. That's a doubling in the case of the HIV and AIDS funding that's available. This is some sort of indication of how funding will flow into the future. The next is the hospital, the tertiary services grant, which strengthens tertiary services in hospitals. These are mostly the central hospitals, the Grootse Kuur on the side of the Kutani Barakwana, Albert Lutuli University, etc. Further 10 million was earmarked to formulate plans to recapitalize the nursing colleges. This will also include the refurbishment of those colleges. These were the special amounts and the additional amounts that we received. As indicated by my colleague, the department has rationalized itself or restructured itself from the previous four programs into six programs. The rationale for the plan of management, and this will enable us to do better monitoring and control, and to also accelerate implementation of the various plans. If we then go to slide number 28, and I sincerely hope that, you know, I see in your presentation it's also this small. I normally try and print these out, and I will do so, and I'll give it to the secretary so that we can have it as a full page document. It reads a lot better. Program one is administration, and administration is normally a prescription from Treasury on what should be in that. The funding for this, the post of the minister, the deputy minister, and then management. Now, honourable members will see, and perhaps let's look at what the slide looks like. On the left hand side, we've got the various items, like the minister, the deputy minister, etc. And then we have the money as it's flown over the last number of years, the budget for 2007-8 and the budget for 2008-9. Remember, the budget for 2007-8, we haven't got the final figures yet. In individual departments, we have the budget yet because we had to submit our annual financial statement last Friday to the Auditor General. So we have those, but at the time when we prepared the slide, it wasn't available yet. And then we have the MTEF, the outer 2 years. Now, in the final column, indicates the growth that takes place over the cycle from 2004-05 to 2010-11. And that's a very good guide to say where the money is going. Now, in this particular case, if members should look at the far right-hand side, the program as such grows by 8.7%, but then most of the growth takes place in the heading management. And that's where we're now appointing the two more Deputy Director General, and hence the 20% growth for there. The program itself on average grows at 8.7%. If we then look at program two, which is strategic health program, the second line item there is HIV and AIDS, and honorable members will see that grows by 26%. And that comes directly from the additional funding that we've been receiving on the conditional grant for HIV and AIDS. The non-communicable disease line item grows by 18%, and that's largely because the introduction of a conditional grant to remodel and refurbish all the more streets in the country. That brings very large number value of the HIV and AIDS allocation, which is $4 billion in 2010-11, it brings the growth for that particular program to 24.75%. But as I say, directly stems from the HIV and AIDS budget, and as honourable members know, that money flows directly to the provinces to fund the program in the province. If you look at program number three of planning, the growth of the program is 7.99%, which is 8%. The health economics unit grows by 15.9%. Amongst other things, it also houses some of the work that we're trying to do in terms of gaining efficiency out of the health system. If we turn to the page to page 16 and we look at slide 31, we notice that for human resources, new program 4, the human resource allocation grows by 161%. That sounds very ominous and awful, but if not, members look at the fact that it started at 26,000 rand, and it grows to 8,000 empowered group. But that gives an indication of the seriousness with which we look at the development of human resources. Labor relations growth by 32%. The one item that is showing a very slow growth is the very last line item before the total on that particular slide, the health professionals and training development grant. This is a grant that reimburses provinces for the high cost of training in their facilities. This grant is only growing at 4.5% and it's got a value of about 1.8 billion, which is fairly high. And this grant is due for restructuring in this financial year and the budget cycle that we are facing right now. You then look at a special program. This is, we've got the district health services here, which grows at 15%. It's a rather significant growth because we know that district health services is where the real action takes place in our primary health care approach to health. The program grows by 13%. If we look at slide number 33, that is the international trade and relations and trade regulation grant, where the multi-relations north and south practice grows by 10.56%. The growth there is largely dependent on the rand-dollar exchange rate, because this particular budget line provides for the membership of the WHO, the World Health Organization, and also pays the salaries of our attachés both in Geneva and in Washington. And those, invariably, the cost recovery fluctuates by way of the rand dollar and the rand Swiss currency. The rest of the program grows by 7%. The department as a whole, on slide 33, the very bottom line, says that it grows by 14.36%. That's pretty substantial. But if we look at the burden of disease, and we look at the backlog that we have, and we look at the fact that we have an inflation rate in the vicinity of 10%, then maybe it doesn't look that good. Nevertheless, in the adjustment budget, we will most probably approach Treasury to look at the inflation rate as well as the burden of disease. If we look at slide number 34, it just gives us an indication of a few other figures. I told the honorable members earlier on that the hospital revitalization grant is one of our flagship programs. And if members should look at the funding for the hospital revitalization,